So here's the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone still there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We have to pick a winner for this box set.
Yes.
And we're going to do it right now.
Okay.
You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 3, Episode 16, Doppelgangland. While casting a magic spell to help Anya regain her powers, Willow and Anya inadvertently summon Willow's evil twin, a vampire from an alternate universe.
My name is Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I am Alirio.
And this is Kevin.
Kevin!
Thank you.
Welcome back, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Great to be back.
Good stuff.
So, Kevin, is this one of your favorite episodes?
It is certainly high up there.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. The fun, yes.
Oh, we got some... I need to make an announcement.
Please.
Okay. Saturday night of Comic-Con, July 23rd?
Let me double check for you.
19th, 20th, 21st, 22nd. No, 21st? Oh, heck.
No, it's not the 21st. No. Saturday, July 23rd.
Okay. Saturday, July 23rd in San Diego at Comic-Con, we have our meetup place.
Woo.
It's at Whiskey Girl, 600 Fifth Avenue, Gas Lamp, San Diego.
I hope it's not a male strip club.
Do
I?
Yeah, they keep advertising that it's a good place to have bachelorette parties.
I hope there's a menu.
Yeah.
But Saturday night is karaoke, and
awesome.
We announced that we're going to get started about 8 o'clock, and then we discovered that karaoke doesn't start till 10, so we have some time there. We'll be really, really loose and ready to sing by the time karaoke starts.
Awesome.
Yes, all I need is 5 minutes, but okay, we will enjoy ourselves, and we've arranged babysitting, so
yes,
it'll be awesome.
Hope someone's bringing a recorder, because the rest of us want to hear how this goes.
Yes. Well, if there's Wi-Fi, I will actually Ustream it from my phone.
Oh, please do. Please?
But I'm not using my data roaming crazy rates for this. So we shall see. We shall see.
Yeah. All right. Are we ready to start talking about Doppelgangland?
Yeah, I think we have some feedback we need to get through.
Oh,
there's
okay.
been a lot of feedback.
I love it.
So, Bess Baker writes, "Hey Gax and special guest, I had to write about one of my favorite episodes, Doppelgangland. You may wonder why it is one of my favorite episodes. Here is my reasoning. Number one, Willow. As we got with the Zeppo and how it fleshed out Xander's character, we get this episode doing the same thing with Willow. It is a showcase for just how talented an actor Allison Hannigan truly is. She is easily playing 4 different versions of the same character and doing it flawlessly, highlighting the humor, pathos, and geekiness that are the trademarks of her character. If you haven't fallen in love with Willow by this episode, I don't know what is wrong with you. This is a personal opinion. Willow is easily in my top 3 TV characters of all time. I love her. I love her too. Number 2. How Wheaton decided to take a seemingly standalone episode with The Wish and make it a part of the main arc for the season by having the mayor try to take out Willow for knowing too much. That was brilliant. I wondered if the potentials knew this was coming when they read the title, unless any of you know German?
No.
Number 3. The whole part of regular Willow acting like Vamp Willow at the Bronze, which may be one of the most brilliant comic sequences in the show. I especially love the little wave that Willow does to Oz in the Bronze to show that she is not a vampire. So sweet. Number 4. The Scooby's reaction to the possible reality that Willow is now a vampire. What a great moment. Number five, Xander's reaction about what his doppelganger is like in Vamp Willow's world. Valerio, did it remind you of a certain Friends character? Anyway, to wrap up the long-winded email, doppelgangling is awesome. Keep up the awesome work. BJ Anderson. P.S. What did everybody think of the hotel scene between the mayor and Faith? Sign of the times, Faith was excited over a certain game console that might be somebody's quote, so I'm not going to say it and ruin it. Have a great episode. Thank you, Baz.
Thank you.
We have some newer feedbackers. Calais Parvianian. Calais Parvianian writes, warning, naturally spoilers if you haven't seen the episode Doppelgangland 316 yet. Hi, Gax and guest. I know The Wish is pretty much everyone's favorite episode, but for me, Doppelgangland is better of the two Wish-versed episodes. And that's all because of Allison Hannigan and Willow. How awesome it must have been for Allie to play not just two roles, but actually four. Willow, Vamp Willow, Willow as Vamp Willow, and Vamp Willow as Willow. This episode is probably the best one of these one-character-centric episodes, at least based on the amount of character exploration and development done in it. The humor in this episode is something that cracks me up every time. I chuckle in anticipation each time I watch this episode, as there are so many classic moments. Buffy and Xander meeting Vamp Willow at the Bronze. Just look at Buffy's face in this scene. Willow dressed in leather and looking at her boobs. Anya meeting with Joffrey and so on. I'm not going to steal anyone's quote here, but to me, this episode has even more quote material than Band Candy. I lied. I have to say this. I'm not going to read it, Callie, so I apologize, but I will not read it. And cheers, Callie. P.S. There's plenty awesome pic from behind the scenes. Ooh, I think that's the pic of Allison Hannigan and the three stand-ins.
Yes.
Which is just a great pic.
That's awesome.
Posted on the Facebook page.
Cool.
Very cool. All right.
Do not read if you have not seen Doppelgangland. A lot of space. Enough space. I love this episode. It's a nice break from the whole, ugh, Faith killed someone thing. But it also lets us see Willow in a fun vamp way. And it lets Willow out of our world realize that she isn't weak. She has her own strengths. Please, 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 someone use a quote from the, I don't want to say it, scene. I already know people will pick the classic line, so no point in even saying it. Well, thank you, and I did not. I love how even Willow is attracted by Willow and creeps out. Yeah, I loved it when Willow punched Anya. I just noticed, end fight scene, the Bronze has baked goods.
We mentioned this last season.
Yes,
people were
totally
walking around with
cupcakes.
Scones or croissant.
I want you to know what the potentials think about vampires. Are they the people they once were, or do they become new people? If so, what does that say about Vamp Willow and regular Willow? New Joss.
Thank you, New Joss.
Thank you, New Joss.
Let's address this, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think we even asked this question before, like during the first season.
Mm-hmm.
When we were first introduced to Spike and Drusilla. And I even asked, you know, and I think Stephanie alluded to that the vampire's actions are more heightened when they are a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So if Willow's only a little bit of a lesbian, she's like a super lesbian when she's a vampire. Is that what we're made to believe?
But Willow's not a lesbian. She has a boyfriend, and then she had a guy on the side. So
she hasn't got to college yet, where they experiment.
Or maybe it's that she's just very sexual.
Maybe.
I don't know, but she really hates Buffy. As a vampire, maybe she sort of is a little pissed off at her right now. Just saying. I'm just trying to add credence to all my theories right now.
Building from a previous podcast.
Yes. So, yeah.
Well, I think the vamp Willow hates Buffy because of what happened in that in the Wish more than
yeah
that, but
makes sense.
But you know, we all do have certain repressed personality sides. That's all I'm going to say on that topic.
Kids. Let's see. Richard Williams. Hello, potential cast. Having just watched your most recent episode, the one for Bad Girls, I decided it was time to stop lurking and start contributing. Yay!
Thank you, Richard. Welcome.
Hopefully you'll get this email before you've recorded your podcast for Season 3, Episode 16, Doppelgangland. Success, Richard! Doppelgangland is one of my favorite episodes of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It features the return of the deliciously evil vamp Willow, the simultaneously heartrending and hilarious scene in the library in which the Scoobies mourn the loss of one of their own, Allison Hannigan playing not two but four distinct roles. Human Willow, Vamp Willow, Human Willow as Vamp Willow, and Vamp Willow as Human Willow. Despite its light-hearted tone, it is also an incredibly important episode for Willow's character arc. Though I won't say too much about that, since to do so could quickly become spoilery. Although I think we might be on to something.
Okay, so can we just say it?
I don't want us to spoil ourselves.
I think we're all spoiled in this one.
You think
we're
so?
We're not spoiled, but I think that everyone's like, oh, don't say anything! And it's like, okay, what?
Yeah. Well, let me just finish this up.
Yeah.
That said, this episode does have some minor problems. Cordelia's quick recovery after learning of Willow's death seems untrue to her character. It feels more like season one Cordy than season three Cordy. I don't buy that she dislikes Willow enough to be more or less unmoved by her death, even after the fluking. Also, during the final fight scene at the Bronze, which I'm sure Gabby enjoyed, Vamp Willow has Human Willow at her mercy for way too long. And didn't Vamp Willow just snap Human Willow's neck? Finally, I'm not sure how I feel about the Scooby's decision to release Vamp Willow back into her own world. Do the lives of people in alternate universes mean nothing to them? I had the same thought. For these reasons, even though this episode ranks higher on my list of personal favorites than several 10 out of 10 episodes, I just can't bring myself to give it a perfect score. I'll give it a 9.7 out of 10 instead. Looking forward to your podcast for consequences in Doppelgangland. Richard Williams. Thank you, Richard, for your email.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Lurker.
He's not lurking anymore.
That's right.
Lurker, no more.
There was a shaft of light, and he decided to step into it.
Nice.
His angel.
Are you also brood, Richard Williams?
All right. Do you want me to read Kelsey Campbell's?
Please.
Okay, do not read further unless your name is Steph or you have seen 316 Doppelgangland. Majorly vague spoilers are below, seriously. For real, Z's, no peeking.
No take backs, okay.
Okay. Dearest Gax and special guests, hi. After listening to Helpless and the Zeppo, I had many Willow thinky thoughts that I wanted to share. I often listened to two or three casts at once, but then I listened to Bad Girls and felt an overwhelming need to defend my girl. I drafted up a large response, waxing poetics about Faith and her interactions with the Scoobies. I had hot blood boiling and it was all ready to send. And then I went onto Facebook and realized that you probably are tired of Faith fans. Therefore, I have trimmed my Faith poem to one point and will go on to Willow. Second draft of this email written mid consequences. Yes, I paused you in order to write to you. This is often my reaction. I did that too. Okay, Faith. When I said I just wanted to hug her, I wasn't being facetious. Point the first. Representation does not work in a one-to-one ratio in the Buffyverse. I'm not going to say that Faith is not supposed to represent the bad Slayer, but that there is more to her than meets the eye, specifically a great deal of bravado. Why would this lesson post an accidental killing? There's a lot more to say, but I think you've all heard enough about Faith recently in emails and on the Facebook group. Faith is a fan favorite. I think it's hard for longtime viewers to stand back and remember that, yes, Faith is reckless. Some of us had to find her lovable in spite of her recklessness. Also, many, like myself, find Buffy's and the Scoobies, especially Giles' reaction to Faith, to be a little harsh. Yes, Bee did stand up for her in all of the Scooby meetings, but have we ever seen Faith at a Scooby meeting? I don't think she's even aware of that side of Buffy's character. She's only seen Slayer Buffy and some daughter... only child Buffy, not friend Buffy, which is a failing on Buffy's part, and Giles's to not include her in the, quote, family unit, end quote, that is the Scooby gang. On to my real point, to be read in a booming voice, please, Willow. I find it incredibly creepy, bo, that script, and not sweet at all that she cries in the bathroom after finding out that Xander has slept with Faith. Possessive much? She even says something about not liking to share her people, which is a quote from Consequences. So, ha, no stealing by me. I don't have a manal?
No,
I don't have a mall moment in the montage showing Willow crying leading up to Xander's confronting Faith. I find it creepy and emotionally manipulative. What is going on in Willow's mind that this is the reaction she has? Yes, it's kind of a bummer that not one but two of Will's besties have chosen the exact wrong person to pop their cherries. But, oh, can we say that on this podcast?
Yeah, sure, why not?
But as far as we know, that's sort of the way this world functions. As of yet, there hasn't been a perfectly sweet consummation that started, happened, and ended in a happy place. I understand wanting more for your friends, but the breakdown, creepy.
I disagree. Anyways, keep reading.
Okay. In conclusion, to this point, if Buffy is selfish, Willow is more so. Buffy defends Faith and Angel and even Willow, Xander and Cordelia to each other in all of their triangle madness. She's honestly a good friend in her own way. I'm your knight in shining armor. Listen to me roar for you. But that's Buffy. Willow is infinitely more selfish and self-centered. Buffy is her best friend. Xander is her best friend. No one else can have them. Her possessiveness really freaks me out, guys. Is it just a reflection of her age? Do all 18-year-olds hold so tightly to their friends? Is it part of her past as a social leper? Now that she has friends, or is she afraid to lose them to someone newer, sluttier, cooler, more badass? Or what do you all think? Doppelgangland, a.k.a. Willow's Own Bad Girls episode. I'm going back to edit this email. I realize how much of this episode parallels Bad Girls. What is brought up in Doppelgangland is something that you guys were talking about in the Bad Girls cast, that clothing is often used in the series as a too-on-the-nose metaphor for what is going on with the characters. Note that this whole season of Buffy has been much more girly and pastel than the previous seasons. Mm-hmm. Pre-Faith, Buffy wore more earth tones and lots of short black skirts. Post-Faith, Buffy looks like a 1950s housewife. Mm-hmm. The Homecoming episode, what was all those outfits? What was with those outfits anyway? In Doppelgangland, Willow practically puts on a costume in order to become stronger and reveal her inner self to her friends in Oz. There's safety in the black corset somehow that she doesn't get from her mismatched floral skirts, fuzzy sweaters, and bright tights. There's also safety in talking about oneself in the third person. Makes me wonder how much the clothing the characters wear are the actual reflection of the characters or a dupe for the audience. Is Willow a black corset or a fuzzy sweater? Is Buffy pastel or black miniskirts? Is Faith really black leather and dark lipstick? Or are they as Vamp Willow? Or are they as the Vamp Willow outfit is, a form of protection? And if so, is vampirism another costume? Are we buying Buffy's synopsis of Vampires from Lie to Me, in which a demon sets up shop in your body? Buffy slushes Angel at the end of this. Buffy shushes Buffy shushes Angel at the end of this episode. Is it for Buffy's protection or Willow's? Final note, squee for Percy. He is awesome. Kills from Callie. Okay, Percy is awesome.
Really? That wasn't my note.
Mine either.
I think someone's reading way too much into this story. You can cut that out if you want, but
don't worry. It's fine. It's something that I thought I was prepared for, and was wrong. People's exuberance and intentness and stuff is. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with it. But I must say that it's a little bit surprising how many comments we had for Bad Girls that were so pro-faith. You know, hopefully it's all about hindsight. Mm-hmm. When we get there, we'll understand.
Yeah, I think I posted on the Facebook that people have to remember that this is our first time ever seeing Faith. So it's not like we can go back and understand why she's acting like this. Maybe when we do our rewatch, or if we do rewatch, we'll understand her. But from what I've seen so far, Faith, in my opinion, I don't like her. Straight up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so tough. Mm-hmm. When you've been through a series, whatever series it might be, to be able to say you remember how you felt at the halfway point or even earlier. So it's difficult. I mean, there was no spoilers here, but there was a discussion on the potential cast spoilers group about your opinions of Faith that had probably, 55, 60 replies going on it. And a lot of it had to do with the difficulty of longtime fans having opinions on characters versus someone who's still going through with one and doesn't know what that journey's going to be. So it's the learning process. But it's tough when you see someone attack a character you have a great deal of affection for.
Yeah.
I totally understand.
So, but that's part of what, at least for me, and I think a lot of the listeners, is what is so eye-opening for us, too, on all our rewatches, is that first-time view. You folks being very honest, which is wonderful, and waiting to see what's going to happen, and maybe opinions change, and maybe they don't. But as someone who's also seen a few discussion panels at DragonCon and other big conventions, and people who do their final college prep stuff on Buffy and some of the themes, some of the things brought out there about costuming. I've seen many things taken to that degree, so very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I think the costuming and all that stuff, it's more for the television viewer than anything. I don't think it has any deep-rooted meaning or layers of protection or anything like that. Not saying that what the emailer said was not right, or I'm disagreeing with what he said, but I think it's more for the casual viewer, because when you read stories that have pictures in them, or you watch movies, there's the good guys are dressed in white and the bad guys are dressed in black, you know? So I think it's just a tip for the audience.
Yeah. Well, we're getting ready. We're getting our costumes ready for Comic-Con, and Morgan is dressing as River Tam. River Tam
awesome.
Wears soft, girly dresses, flowy dresses, because on one hand, she's very feminine, but she also wears big combat boots. So she's tough. So I think that Joss's characters are all very they've got two sides to them, because just like in the Zeppo, when I feel like it's saying that Xander has his true self is under all that insecurity and self-doubt, and I think also Willow has that too. Maybe she is Vamp Willow inside, but what's all on the outside is her insecurities.
Yeah, and as Kim said too, when you've got a 42-minute TV episode, not everyone's paying attention to all the dialogue, so visual cues are important. So.
Yeah.
A lot of ways to tell a story.
Because there's a lot of people who watch television that don't they don't have pay attention to it.
Yeah.
I think we should listen to some audio feedback from Michael David.
Sure.
Hey.
Hello, Potential Cast. It is your friend Michael. I just wanted to give some quick feedback on Doppelgang Land, or Doppelganger Land, or I forget the exact title. Anyway, poor Willow and Vamp Willow, they were very blue this episode, very, very sad. And Vamp Willow was really crabby, even cranky even, but I felt bad for Vamp Willow. She was yanked out of her world and pulled into the Hellmouth Sunnydale that's just not her, you know. She had to wear the horrible pink sweaters. And at least she didn't have to wear overalls of shame, anyway. The mayor continues to be elusive. They can't seem to catch up to him, although, you know, this episode really didn't have a whole lot of the overarching story in it, so. It was an okay episode. Not one of my favorites, but, oh, there was plenty of bronze for giggles. I'm sure she loved that. Anyway, Steph, Lirial, hope to see you in San Diego soon. Take care. Yep. Bye.
Bye, Michael.
Yeah, that is a good point. I felt bad for Vamp Willow.
Really? Danielle?
Yeah.
I love Vamp Willow. I felt really bad for her. I wanted to comfort her.
She didn't need any comforting.
No.
She wanted ponies.
Yeah. Well, if you're not one of the people she's riding, you're all set. Right?
Well...
I think right. Vamp Willow is one of my favorite characters of the series so far.
Yeah, I'd say so. I would agree. I'd say Angelus and Vamp Willow for me are top two. Jenny has fallen down to three because she's dead.
Like, so many people say the same thing. Like, how fun must it have been for Allison Hannigan to play this? To be good Willow pretending to be bad? Like, that's the funniest thing ever. So good. What's next?
I think one more email, and then we're going to do a couple of items from the Facebook page, and then we should actually get into our reactions.
All right.
So, let's do Shelley. Hey, Gax, and you lucky guest hosty person. Did I hear someone wish for this? Evil Vamp Willow is back. Yay, and sexier than ever. How awesome is Allison Hannigan? Willow playing Evil Willow playing Willow playing Evil Willow, etc., etc. Oh, you get it. As I'm sure you know by now, there's lots of love, 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 love. Love, 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 love for this episode. So I'm sure you'll get tons of comments from our fabulous Facebook group. Some of my favorite quotes in this entire series happen here, but I won't betray you guys.
Aww.
Thank you for not betraying us. When you rewatch the whole series, which I'm sure you will, since you guys are definitely hooked by now, you'll notice some intentional as well as unintentional foreshadowing. Way back in season 2's Lie to Me, Ford makes a comment to Buffy about an anxious, jittery Willow. Nice girl. And Buffy says, there aren't two of those in the world. We'll see about that. And, of course, written and directed by the amazing Joss. Wonderful music, laughs, bronziness, and story and character development all rolled into one amazing episode. Hey, did I mention that I love season 3? And you guys as well. Cannot wait for this podcast. Shelley.
Aww. Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley.
Here's a picture from back, from behind the scenes of... Allison Hannigan getting her makeup done.
That's true.
I was trying to find articles about, like, what did she have to say about playing this part, but I can't really find anything. And I want to say that, I don't know where I heard this, but, you know, just Joss talking about how, you know, he just loved that character in The Wish, and he was just inspired to write this episode for Allie. Just so she could show her the different sides of her acting ability.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where I heard that. I don't know if it was on a commentary or what.
So I don't think I would have liked Doppelgangland if it was two Buffys or two Xanders.
Or two Xanders, I would have quit the podcast. Forget this. God, there's probably a two Xander episode in the future, and I've just painted myself into a corner. Just call me baby. So from our Facebook group, Angie says, I would love to have had that sweater. It's one of my favorite episodes, too.
Oh, my God.
Horrendous.
Chris Dunning, this episode is one of my very favorites. Allison Hannigan is indeed amazing throughout, and especially in the layered performances. She's playing one character, pretending to be another. Still crack up every time when Xander shakes the cross to try and get it to work, like it's a flashlight with faulty batteries. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it is an Illyrio turning point of the episode for me.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes. I love Xander again.
Just
because he looked at the cross, shook it to see if it was working, and tried it again. So I love Xander once more. That's all it takes, man. That's all it takes. My one reservation about this episode is that Faith is led back in the fold so quickly by the group, especially Wesley. At the end of Consequences, she has escaped from Wesley and the Watcher Police, and after saving Buffy from Trick, has gone to see the mayor. At the beginning of this episode, everything seems hunky-dory with Wesley. I know some time has passed, but she seems to have too easily slid back into the gang.
She's incognito.
Valpa says, Doppelgangland equals perfect 10. I think I'll be shocked if everyone doesn't give it a 10.
Oh,
also, you'll be shocked.
Shocked, I tell you. Best Willow-centric episode ever. And what's even better, it's Willow times 4. Yes, we know how many characters Willow is playing. Thank you all for mentioning it. We love you all very much. Gak, were you expecting to see Vamp Willow again? Were you? Is it safe to say you were just happily surprised at her return? What did you guys do or say when you first saw her on screen? Were you also happy it was a Faithless episode? I was like, oh, yes, goody. I was very pleased.
I didn't miss her.
From the title, I thought it was going to be like another Wish where everyone had a doppelganger.
I thought everybody was going to have a doppelganger, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it was just going to be one person. But I was pleasantly surprised. You know, my favorite part of the episode was when they were in the library and they realized it was the real Willow. So then there's the group hug, and then there's like a beat, and then Giles comes in and hugs her.
That was awesome.
Hilarious.
All right. There are so many comments, but we really have to cut this short on time. We appreciate your comments every single time, and we look forward to having more of them next week for enemies. So.
Well, they're all the same anyway. How great Allison Hannigan is.
Times four.
I think so.
We get it. And we love it too.
So, points?
Oh.
My first point is Anyanka. It was nice to see Brandon's girlfriend again.
She's an one. She's an one.
You don't like Anyanka?
No.
No.
Why was Cordelia dressed like Miss Universe when she came to the library?
She was going like after she was going to some after five event. She looked like.
Sure, she was.
She just wanted to look good for Wesley.
Mm-hmm. That's what it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why didn't Good Willow want to kill Bad Willow?
Because she's good.
Because it's her.
Yeah.
But and I guess she feels sorry for her.
So.
Yes.
Would you want to kill yourself? From another universe?
If I was a vampire and I hated vampires, then yes.
I suppose.
No, I don't think you can kill yourself, but I don't know. I found it kind of weird.
Willow needs to work on her emotional control. That poor tree.
That's what happens when you think about Faith.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
So what do you guys think of when Willow was crying over Xander?
What, last week?
Yeah. Because it was brought up in the email, and I was just wondering what everyone thinks.
I don't know. I thought she was...
Do you think it's selfish of her to cry?
I don't see her that way, right? Like, you know, I think Willow's just kind of still awkward and doesn't have that many friends, isn't very gregarious, and she's kind of figuring herself out. I think she's upset.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I remember, you know, offhandedly joking that she was actually just depressed that Xander lost his virginity before she did. So I think I'll stand by that stupid statement.
Yeah, and at the time, too, she was losing, it seemed like she was losing everything that she held dear as far as her friends went, because Buffy was spending more time with Faith and, you know, Xander clearly spent more time with Faith.
Well, not really.
Not that much.
Well.
Quality time, maybe, but.
Hey, Snyder's back.
Yay.
Yay.
And he's bullying Willow into tutoring somebody.
Yay. Percy. That's Percy.
Oh, yes, Percy.
He's a douche.
Well, that's just because he was chewing gum with his mouth open. I'm sure if he wasn't doing that, you wouldn't think so.
You know me so well. When he stops chewing, then that will be my turning point for Percy.
The Gabby turning point of the show. I have here that Faith is the worst.
Oh, really? What'd she do now?
Because she's in cahoots with the mayor. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she's being all double agent because Willow breaks into the mayor's files, but Faith goes back and tells the mayor, and they take it all out before she can find anything.
She's the worst.
Mm-hmm. Well, she can't be too bad, because when the mayor brings up having Willow killed, she does look like she's going to hesitate if he had asked her.
Yeah, that look on her face. She's shocked that he even brought that up.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But of the people in this episode, she's the worst.
Under the bed. What? I'm sorry. Morgan's ears were under the bed. Sorry. Her costume.
Okay. Who laughed out loud when they heard PlayStation?
Me.
Me too.
And her reaction when she squeed.
Yeah, I know.
And jumped on the bed.
Oh, man.
Aww.
Who laughed when Wesley screamed like a girl?
That was awesome. I wanted to hug him.
Oh, God.
I love Wesley. He's very handsome.
Of course.
Yes.
Attractive.
No one's contesting that. Speedy's a stupid head. I stand he's by just, my previous statements.
He's just eager to please the council.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Cordelia.
Are you guys worried about the possibility of a nerd strike?
What? No.
Because I think that's a huge threat upon our society. And I'm glad Xander pointed it out. Willow rebelling by eating her banana not on lunchtime.
Yep.
This is who we're dealing with, people.
Yeah.
And you, when you're right. Wondering why she doesn't want to kill the vampire.
True.
It's her idea of being bad to the bone.
Yes.
Very true.
I like the black arts. That was so weird. Go, Gabby. Sorry.
That's okay. So, was it just me, or was Willow being extra syrupy sweet in this episode than she has in the past? Or was it just because there was more vamp Willow around that she seemed saccharine in her sweetness? Because she was so sweet that it irritated me.
I think it's a bit of both.
Uh-huh.
Just like how last week the contrast of Buffy and Faith's clothing and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just so contrasting because they really want to drive the point home that this is good Willow and that's bad Willow or vamp Willow.
My eyes almost rolled out of my head a bunch of times because I'm like, oh, come on.
Well, and also, like I was saying, Willow is growing up, or Allison Hannigan is getting older, and she's really having to work at being precocious and cute and young. I think that, to me, that's the worst part of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, she also had such great timing with several of her lines. I mean, they just
hit
perfectly. I mean, without taking away somebody's quote, the whole scene in the library when they were starting the Hugs things and she asked them what they all might have been doing. I mean, I mean, that's, you know, Mountain Dew out the nose stuff as far as common timing. And on a side podcast-related note, did you all catch the mention she made later on in the episode when she came back to the Bronze in disguise? Maybe part of a name for a certain podcast for listeners of this podcast?
Huh?
Well, oh, the Minions.
She said Minions.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Nice.
Got it. Wait.
I mean, that whole thing where you don't know where the name of your podcast came from, yet I at least wanted to let you know the name of the podcast about the podcast came from. Nice.
When will we find out what potential cast means?
Season 8 in the comics. Temporal folds. I think that just made me think of Balthazar all over again.
So, did we get a Facebook group message about unctuous or unctuous?
Yes.
Oh, it made me laugh so hard because I was reading it at work and I'm like, really? But it's so funny.
Yes, I have no comment on the pronunciation of things.
Unctuous.
So what did I'm curious what folks thought about the scene with Anya and Willow and them attempting with that spell there.
Oh, yeah.
It was intense. That was the crappiest drawing of a necklace I've seen in a long time. And my child is in pre-kindergarten. But, you know, SOD, right?
So if she hadn't have moved and got the sand onto herself, onto Willow, then they would have brought the necklace there into that.
That's what I'm assuming. That what went wrong is it got on Willow, and that's what was brought over.
Okay.
Or her necklace, wouldn't it be on... Wait a second. Yeah, it would have landed probably in the quad, right? Because didn't Willow appear exactly where she was?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was destroyed in Vajal's apartment.
Oh, so it would show up in Giles' apartment?
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, in theory, somewhere within this, you know, realm.
Yeah, true.
But I love the way how Willow, once the spell was done, totally backing out of it.
And... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because all of the things she saw.
Mm-hmm.
She saw such scary things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which might have been part of the reason I thought why she was okay letting Vamp Willow go back to her world. I mean, she saw how bad that world was. She would fit in very easily there rather than being the only, shall we say, badass around.
Go ahead. For a split second, I thought that, because I didn't realize there were two of them for a moment, and I thought maybe Good Willow was going to turn into Bad Willow.
Oh.
That's what I thought. And then they had to break the spell to bring Good Willow back. But then when I saw the other one, I was like, oh, right, doppelgang.
Yeah, by this point in time, we've all seen enough TV shows, and we know what that means, that you kind of, shall we say, spoiled knowing something like that's going to happen.
Yeah. Vampire Diaries, anyone?
I wasn't going to go there.
I just remember watching the pilot at Comic-Con and doing a riff track on preview night, and it was funny.
It's actually a really good show. Anyway.
I can imagine that it is.
It got a lot better.
It got a lot better after five episodes.
Awesome. So Vamp Willow is here, and she's trying to, you know, get her bearings, and she goes to the Bronze, and there are all these people around, and they're all happy, and they're giggly, and nobody's scared for their lives, and nobody's following the whole drab color dress code, and can get home way before sundown curfew, and nobody's having, you know, graduation brunches. You know, everybody's just super happy. And at one point she got like kind of excited because she heard someone scream, but it was just somebody horsing around. She gets to the bronze and utters, you know, of course, "Bored now," which I think is safe for me to say, because if anybody's going to pick that as the quote again, or
yeah. No duplication.
No. Lame. But, but, you know, and then she thrusts Percy up over onto the... That was great.
I loved it.
Although he kept fighting back, that jerk.
Dude.
Just stay down.
But the payoff was at the very end,
which was
fantastic.
Oh, that was funny.
Who knew there were two President Roosevelts? Whatever a president is.
We'll fill you in on that later.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm expecting Dingo's Ate My Baby to be up there, and it's someone singing about a chair in her head. Now, you know, it's the first time I've ever heard this song, and I, after being distracted by her hair, mm-hmm. and listening to the lyrics on my second watch, I was a little bit distracted by those lyrics. And it's interesting.
Are they a regular occurrence in the bronze?
I think there's actually a comment on our Facebook group about...
They are?
Who was on there?
Oh, because I didn't like them at all.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Are we going to get hate mail for saying that?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
It's okay.
You can beep it out.
Boo us. Go on. Boo us. I feel like a Rocky Pete.
No. I'm sure I would have thought her hair was cool back if I was 16 or 17 watching the show.
Yeah, I just couldn't get involved in the whole chair in my head thing. And then writing on the chair.
Sorry, Kevin, what were you saying? I cut you off.
No, I was going to say, I first had flashbacks to thinking that it might have been the band, if any of you remember, Till Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Had a similar sound, but you're right, Larry, the lyrics are what totally threw me out.
She vamps out in front of Buffy and Xander, and I don't know why, but I wasn't even expecting that.
No?
That thought didn't cross my mind that they would see her and think Willow was dead, and then that's what happened. I was like, oh yeah, they're going to think she's totally dead. And I was fully engrossed.
But even if, wouldn't they think that she could kind of be like Angel? He's like a good vampire.
But he got his soul back.
That was the whole soul thing, though.
Yeah. Wouldn't they do everything in their power to get her soul back?
Oh, what? They're going to find an Orba Thessala? she's the one that got it to work last time.
Yeah. So, my mom has one on her window, so...
Doesn't mean she sure can recite the Aramaic. Or Macedonian, or whatever it was.
Anyways, yeah. Of course they would cry over losing their friend, yeah.
Well, I know, but it didn't even cross my mind that would happen, which is really kind of lame. You figure it would.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the fun stuff happens.
Yeah.
She walks in, and then they're like, okay, what's going on? And what's going on this? And then shaking of the cross.
That was good.
And then later, Angel comes in. And I gotta say, the worst line ever for that character is, oh, hey, Willow.
Yeah.
Because it was just like he doesn't want to break the news to them. And then all of a sudden, he realizes she's alive. And then, of course, she forgets something. No, she was going to go back to get the tranquilizer dart gun, wasn't she?
I don't know. I never realized.
I think that's what...
Must have been what it is.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the most strange lesbo-erotic scene I've ever seen.
Why does Vamp Willow lick everyone?
She needs the salt.
Maybe. It's getting on my nerves. I'm like, does she have to lick everyone? I guess that's her thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But imagine licking yourself. That's so crazy.
But aren't I supposed to do that when I have some KFC?
Just not on the neck, okay?
Hey, don't criticize how I eat my KFC. Yeah, that was weird. It was very weird. It was so weird.
Imagine how Allison felt watching that for the first time. Oh, it's just so creepy. But I'm sure it'll have fun. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What would we say would have been the way we would have handled it had we been in Zillow's had we been in Willow's shoes? Would you have actually let yourself go the way they did and released back into your own world? What would you do?
I don't know. I think my first instinct would be to kill myself, but then when you sit and actually think about it, it would be weird. Because I think the good Willow in Vamp Willow saw what she had potential of being. No pun intended. Or
there, but for the grace of something something.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's everything pretty much that she's not. And Willow was just so, she was looking for, you know, not to be considered, you know,
boring.
Boring. Oh, what they call her, old, reliable. And all that. And so,
accommodating.
Yeah. Doormat. So this was her chance not to be in the shadows anymore.
Mm. Well, I think the main point of the reason that they didn't stake Vamp Willow is to show that Buffy had self-control, that she stopped herself.
Yeah. From good reflexes, she said.
Yeah, she stopped herself when Faith couldn't stop herself.
Oh, that's very true.
When Faith's very, not very there, true. We're all about hating Faith. And so are the writers.
Awesome.
As soon as all those vampires walked into the bronze, they were like, oh, here we go again. It's the harvest all over again. Someone's going to start talking for too long. Nothing's going to happen. And then the foils are going to be, the plans are going to be foiled.
Poor Anya can't get a beer. I think that was the saddest part of this whole episode. It was the most shocking revelation.
What did she say? I'm like, 350 years old. What did she scream?
1140 years old, I think.
No, I think it's like 1100 and something.
Yeah.
And all the coke.
The bronze's pool cue budget must be through the roof. It must just be insane.
Their what budget?
Pool cue.
Yeah.
Oh, pool. Right. I get it now. Took me a second.
The magic of editing.
Yes. I'll sound brilliant for once.
And I will sound funny. I'm out of points.
Me too.
I think
this episode. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kim.
I think because this episode was so much fun that we don't really get a chance to really dig into it like we would other episodes, theorizing and stuff.
I would agree that I got distracted with the fun.
Oh, it was so much fun. I think the only thing that we all kind of had a chuckle about was the whole lesbian thing. And that's like the only thing that we'll pick on because everyone seems to pick on it when we bring it up. But anyways, but other than that, like, I think, like, even us now discussing this podcast, it feels weird because we're not really talking about it, but we all loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Does that mean Gabby has more notes?
Oh, Gabby, why are you Gabby so quiet?
Gabby does have more notes.
Here we go, Debbie Downer. Let's go.
No, I think what, I don't know. For me, we all knew that Willow really existed, and then there was the Vamp Willow. So when everybody was upset because they thought she was dead, had no impact on me whatsoever. I didn't care because I knew that wasn't really what was going on. And I
it had an impact on me, even though I knew that wasn't really what was going on. So I put myself in their shoes.
And then the fact that it took everybody in the Bronze so long to figure out that she was actual Willow pretending to be Vamp Willow. Come on, she's human. She's got to smell like blood. She's clearly not acting the same. I'm like, oh, they're not that dumb, or are they? I don't know. I just didn't. I'm just not in love with this episode, like everybody else in the world seems to be.
SOD.
Yeah, SOD.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, couldn't they smell her when she walked in? But again, reading
allergies.
Yeah.
So.
And why would a tranquilizer dart do anything to a dead vampire? I think that's another.
Oh, yeah, because they don't really have blood circulating, do they? Yeah, that's well, you know, there's always. Yeah, that's like the smoking. How can a vampire smoke?
Yeah.
Because it's cool.
Yeah, there's just several things that you just have to not think about.
And then, too, when she was snapping, Vamp Willow was snapping the fingers, and she kept saying, "Who do you work for? Who do you work for?" I couldn't stop thinking about Austin Powers.
Number two.
Who does number two work for? So that took me out.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Well, there. I'm done now.
We're all done.
Kevin?
It was also nice to see Cordy get some alone time with Willow as far as the discussion of Xander and all.
Yeah, oh, yes, finally being brought out.
But the wrong Willow.
Yeah, the wrong one.
Well, that's true.
That's Cordy.
It's so funny to see Vamp Willow's reactions to her.
Just get really, really, really bored and just like, I have to keep pretending I'm this other Willow or I'll never get out of here. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Now, one last quick note. As we mentioned, the episode was written by Joss, and kudos to Brian Curry mentioning this on his Hellmouth podcast. But it was great because in this episode we had 12 characters interplaying here, so you really are starting to see the very wide stretch of characters you got. So there are, we tend to think of the Scoobies and one or two more, but this is an example as we get on the big, fast-moving train towards the season finale to get a lot of people involved.
Interesting.
That's why I don't like cookie-cutter episodes. I like when there's a nice, long arc and you can introduce more characters. It's just so much more interesting.
Well, but even though this is like a standalone episode, sort of, you still have, you know, what's going on with Willow carrying all the way through. You know, that she's jealous or hurt or whatever she's feeling because of Faith. So it still carries, some things still carry through even through the standalone episodes.
Yeah.
That's still good.
All right. I think it may be time to rate the episode.
All right. Kevin, you go ahead.
I will give this one 9 out of 10 handsy Vamp Willows.
Gabby, I'm curious to hear what you say.
Well, we had a lot of bronze.
A
lot of bronze. And we also had overalls of shame.
Yes.
And there were a lot of hilarious lines by all of the Willows, the 1900 of them. But all in all, I give it 6 out of 10 sugar daddies.
Okay.
Only 6? Yeah, we'll see.
And with the bronze points.
They're all bronze points?
No, I didn't hate it. I'm not as in love with it as everybody else is.
I give it 10 out of 10 blood-sucking fiends because it's just so much fun.
I also give it 9 out of 10 licks to the neck. I really like this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun.
I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 IDs. You know, I love Willow. So it was all Willowdom all the time. And mm-hmm. It was good. It was very good. But, you know, that's what we thought. You can tell us what you think. 27040Buffy is the way you can call us. And we'll be glad to play voicemails. And we also have an email address, don't we? What is it?
We do. It's potentialcast@gmail.com.
Yes, potentialcast@gmail.com. You can email us about any episode you wish. Just make sure that if it isn't something we've released yet, you put in potential spoilers in the subject and that you leave enough space at near the top so that we don't get to see any previews of the content of the email in any devices that show previews. You can also go to potentialcast.com where we release the show. Check out our show notes. Subscribe to us via iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/potentialcast.
And Facebook blew up the last couple weeks. So,
mm-hmm.
Love reading those comments.
Facebook group, join. And if you're going to be in San Diego for Comic-Con, or not for Comic-Con, and you listen to us, and you want to hang out, July 23rd, Saturday night, at Whiskey Girl on 5th Avenue in the Gaslamp District, we will be there. And yes, 10 p.m. is karaoke time. Was there any bra watch?
There was. We had Faith with a white bra and a white spaghetti strap tank top.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all that I noticed.
I love that someone posted the photo of the bra watch. I mean, the bra head strap.
A link to the bra headbands. Oh, my
loved
goodness.
Loved it.
Uh-huh. Where have I been? I don't know what y'all were talking about at all. Somebody posted a link to what?
To a website where you can buy bra strap headbands.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Proof they do exist.
I know what someone's getting for Christmas.
You should get one if it was officially worn by one of the actors.
Oh, Gabby is getting a real bra.
It's going to be bronzed.
Nice. It is quotation time.
How about if everyone does two? Because this episode was amazing.
Yeah, I have two.
I have 10.
Man, we need a roadie. Other bands have roadies. Other bands know more than three chords.
Match, you want us to breed?
Oh, Kim, you stole my favorite one.
That was
my favorite one.
Well, then go, Illyrio.
I believe these chicken feet are mine.
Questions? Comments?
Oh, that was one of mine, too.
Well, no one's taken one of the all-time favorite Whedon quotes, so I'll go with it. I'm a blood-sucking fiend. Look at my outfit.
Bitch. Sorry.
There are immoral liaisons going on there. Yeah, plus all the screwing.
Did you try looking in the sofa? In hell?
I'm going to go with the Xander one. Is there a funny thing?
S'more Willow, let's see. That's me, reliable dog geyser person.
How about That's me as a vampire. I'm so evil and skanky. I think I'm kind of gay.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
We should have a tally going of how many of Gabby's theories are correct.
Probably theory, all of them.
Theory watch.
Theory watch.
Somebody keep track.
I'm sure somebody is somewhere.
Well, I hope you do know that several of the theories you folks have brought up are discussion topics on the spoiler side of the Facebook.
Because they're so stupid.
I will not say anything else other than that. No further comment from this side of the room.
Awesome.
Are there some that are so wacky you guys are like, where the hell did they come from?
Do you mean like after I read some I have to wipe my eyes from laughing?
Laughing or crying? Yeah.
Well.
Has that ever happened where everyone is like, they're ridiculous? Like, really? And if so, which one?
Friends don't make friends, you know. We're not trying to make you folks uncomfortable. Let's just say that. We appreciate it. Some are spot on, and some are not so much.
I really hope I'm right with Faith actually having killed her watcher. I'm really, really, really hoping on that one. Not that I'm wagering or anything. Because, you know, it's for educational purposes only.
But didn't that crazy monster kill her?
I know, but I think she's BSing.
All right.
I think she's totally insane because of that.
Really bad CGI.
With a 4x4?
Yeah.
Going through his chest? Yeah.
All right.
Well, thanks for joining us this time, Kevin.
Oh, my pleasure. Always a ton of fun. Looking forward to going back in a few weeks for the season 3 finale.
Yay!
Ooh. Are we that far already?
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. We're just 6 episodes away. Now, before we let everybody go, we have an announcement to make.
Oh, finally.
Yes. We have chosen a winner in our...
What Jim Watari
supplied in our Jim Watari supplied Buffy the Complete Series The Chosen Collection DVD prize pack, where we asked you to submit pictures of yourselves in 1990s regalia.
Open to US residents only, though.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes. And the winner is,
drum roll please,
are you purring?
No.
Okay. Because I have that effect on people. The winner is Brad Couples.
Have him write a haiku.
Congratulations, Brad.
Yes.
And we hope that you enjoy all your floppy disks. And... your tucked-in shirt and your self-proclaimed child predator glasses.
So we're going to post that picture, obviously, on the Facebook.
Yes, following the posting of this show, we will post this as the winning picture.
Fantabulous.
So talk about capers and caprices. Absolutely.
Love it. Congratulations.
Bye, everybody.
Wait.
What?
What's homework. Our homework for next week?
Oh, I hate homework.
Next term is in this.
I'm sorry, Cylon. Steph, do you want to say that again?
Okay.
Cylon. Sorry.
Okay. Next term is enemies.
Nice.
That's it. Okay.
That's it.
All right.
Mm. All right. Everyone.
Bye.
Poignant music starting now. Hope.
they're not mine. I'm looking from you as you, neither there at the same time. Oh, it's easy to say in a few smart ways, I am you. Myself, and I'll blow you pearls while I kiss myself. I'll blow you pearls while I kiss myself. And I'll blow you pearls. Nowhere, seeing the fire but not in it. Yes, that joy, yes, that joy. Love is tapped, and you're afraid of love, of being yourself. Forget the silence, get in the crowd. Don't stand out, stand in. Yourself, and I'll blow your pearls, and I'll blow your pearls while I kiss myself, and I'll blow your pearls while I kiss myself. Blow you pearls while I kiss myself, and I'll blow you pearls. And I'll blow you pearls. And I'll blow you pearls while I kiss myself.
Kim, read Nucha's email.
Hold on. I gotta go get my computer.
Oh.
I was laying down. I was just getting comfortable.
Well, okay. Well, you know what? Who has a computer in front of them? Gabby, do you have a computer in front of you?
I actually do have a computer in front
Gabby,
of me.
Gabby, would you like to read Nucha's email?
I have it.
No, it's okay. Sure?
Okay,
you don't
go
have
ahead,
to get
Gab.
Up.
I mean, you know, I know how to read. I go can ahead. Do it. Okay.
Never was a cornflake girl. thought it was a good solution, hanging with the raisin girls. She's gone to the other side, giving us a yo-yo. Things are getting kind of gross, and I go at sleepy time. This is not really, this is not really happening. You bet your life it is. You bet your life it is. With my encyclopedia, they must have paid her a nice price. She's putting on a string big love. This is not really, this is not really happening. You bet your life it is. You bet your life. Never was a cornflake girl. Thought that was a good solution.
Finally, I'm not sure how I feel about the Scoobies' decision to release Vamp Willow. Wait, You shouldn't be reading this over my shoulder. You haven't seen this episode yet. Go away. I'm finally ahead of you. I will not be the reason why you're spoiled. Go. Are you leaving or are you coming back?
I'm saying goodbye.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Farewell.
Yes.
Adios.
Yes. Don't bump your head. She's like, wait a second. She's over my shoulder. She hasn't seen this yet. And I'm saying things like neck snapping. Nah, she'll forget.